Welcome to the October 18th virtual service of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Blacksburg, Virginia. The service is led by our minister, Reverend Pam Phillips, and worship associate Kimberly Homer. The theme of their reflections is listening to our lives.
Good morning, and welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the New River Valley, where we share a mission to inspire, create, and transform. I'm Kimberly Homer, and I'm happy to be weaving worship today with Rev Pam. If you are with us for the first time, we are glad that you're here. You'll find a link to the virtual visitors card in the chat, and thank you, Isabel. Fill it out if you'd like us to keep in touch with you. We invite you to stay after the service for our virtual coffee hour. We'll go to breakout rooms for a chance to meet in smaller groups for conversation. There are also many opportunities to meet virtually or on the grounds throughout the week. And I'd like to especially endorse the yoga on Wednesday. Look at the calendar on our website for times and Zoom links. Thanks to all the volunteers who make all of these activities possible. If you have a joy or a sorrow you'd like shared aloud this morning, you'll find a link in the chat to fill that out as well.
And I would like to lift up a couple of announcements. One is tomorrow we're having our Monday meetups at 7 o'clock. It's on Zoom, but it's an opportunity for people just to have a chat and see folks from UUC. And the other is the UUC's Got Talent extravaganza, which is next Saturday at 6 o'clock. This is in place of our usual auction gathering, which is like the most fun you can have in church. Instead, we're gonna be doing a Zoom talent show. And Jim Flowers and Ashley Spinks-Dugan will be hosting that. If you have a talent, we would love for you to share it. We're asking people to make short videos, or if it's something you can actually do on a Zoom screen, you're welcome to do that. Read a poem, juggle, do a magic trick. I went to one talent show where someone was doing a cooking segment, showing us how to, doing a cooking segment. Anyway. The sky is the limit, but please get in touch with Irene Peterson, and she will be the person who can hook you up and get you into the show. Also, there's still lots of items up for bid on the auction website, so I encourage you to go to that. And now, let's listen to Karen Hagar, our Director of Lifespan Faith Development, with some RE news.
Hi, everybody. Just a reminder to put our annual event, It's Scary to Be Hungry, on your calendar for this Halloween from 2 to 4 p.m.
It's Scary to Be Hungry addresses the real issue of hunger and food insecurity in our community. Between 2 and 4, UUC will hold a drive-through donation drive for non-perishable food for the Interfaith Food Pantry. COVID has changed how the food pantry operates, so they're requesting only items from their wish list to prepack food bags for clients. You can find this list on their website or in our email announcements. Since this event is on Halloween, we're inviting families of all types and sizes to come as costume greeters for this event. Click the link in our email announcements and reserve your socially distanced space to be a greeter. If you would like to help at this event, but you don't want to be a greeter, there are also other volunteer opportunities at the same link. And of course, it wouldn't be Halloween without some goodies. So every kid attending this event will take home a goodie bag containing both candy and non-candy items. The Interfaith Food Pantry badly needs our support, and we hope you'll come and donate generously. If you'd like to donate food but you can't be here on Halloween, donation bins are located right now outside both UUC entrances, so you can drop off your donations at your convenience. And before I go, I thought I'd show you what the kids were up to in RE last week. Our preschool class read the storybook Little Boo and had two fun pumpkin crafts to make. And our K-5 class watched the Pixar short Tin Toy, talked about responsibility, and made kaleidoscopes, a classic toy that lets you see the world a different way. See you next week.
Thank you, Karen, and we look forward to seeing everyone on Halloween.
Kindling the Flame of Community. I invite you to light a candle or chalice at home as the Lemon Roundtree family, Brandy, Derek, Delaney, and McKinley, light their chalice, and we light the chalice in the sanctuary.
We light this chalice for the warmth of welcome, the light of hope, and the fire of service.
Thank you, Roundtree family. Today's opening words are titled Labyrinth and were written by Reverend Leslie Takahashi. Walk the maze within your heart. Guide your steps into its questioning curves. This labyrinth is a puzzle leading you deeper into your own truths. Listen in the twists and turns. Listen in the openness within all searching. Listen, a wisdom within you calls to a wisdom beyond you, and in that dialogue lies peace. Please join Cynthia Luke in reading the Congregational Covenant printed on the screen.
We covenant to create a place of respect and kindness, and to build a spiritual community based on reason and courageous love. While we celebrate the words of our mission statement to inspire, create, and transform, and of this covenant, we affirm that our mission lives through our actions.
Thank you, Cynthia. So I found a story, several versions of the same story. They were attributed to very many different people. One of them actually was in Times Square, but this one is attributed to Susan Strauss, and it speaks to what we want to think about today. A man named Jerry was walking down a sidewalk in Washington, D.C. with a Native American friend who worked in the Bureau of Indian Affairs. It was lunchtime in Washington. People were hustling and bustling along the sidewalks, and car honks and hurried engine noises filled the streets. You can imagine it, can't you? Washington, D.C. in the middle of the day. In the middle of all this traffic, Jerry's friend stopped and said, "Hey, a cricket." "What?" said Jerry. "Yeah, a cricket," said his friend. "Look here." And he pulled aside some of the bushes that separated the sidewalk from the government buildings. There, in the shade, was a cricket chirping away. "Wow," said Jerry. "How did you hear that with all this noise and traffic?" "Oh," said the Native man, "it was the way I was raised. What I was taught to listen for. Here, I'll show you something." The Native man reached into his pocket and pulled out a handful of coins, nickels, quarters, dimes, and he dropped them on the sidewalk. Everyone who was rushing by stopped to listen. So ends our story.
Thank you, Rev Pam. I love that story. Each week, the UUC NRV donates half of the offering to a local charity or UU-affiliated organization. This week, we'll be sharing the plate with literacy volunteers of the NRV to provide support for their remote tutoring program, which has been made necessary by COVID. With this program, the adult literacy student is matched with a remote tutor and makes an appointment to enter a computer lab at the literacy volunteer office or partner location, such as the Narrows Library, to connect with the tutor. Computer labs are needed, as there are many residents of our community who do not have the technology, internet, or computer skills to participate in this distance education on their own. Our donation will help purchase equipment such as cameras and microphones, as well as curricula books with a digital component. Please see the screen and the order of service for ways to give.
And we know that people will be giving today and in the week ahead, but Kimberly, you want to lead us in that?
Please join in reading these words. We accept these offerings in support of our congregation and our larger community, recognizing always that in giving and receiving, we participate in a circle of care with no beginning and no end.
Now, for a time of quiet, of meditation, I invite you to take a deep breath. I invite you to feel yourself grounded in your seat, to soften your shoulders, to do whatever it is that helps you be fully present. This morning we are listening to life. And we want to invite you to listen to your own life. To invite you to forget about all the busyness of your week. Let go of all those niggling thoughts, things you have to do today or tomorrow, or worries from yesterday or the day before, and just be fully present now. Kimberly and I thought about having just a time of silence, but didn't know how that would go on Zoom. So instead, we asked Jim Kern to play the sound of silence on his guitar. So if you are the kind of person who loves to sit in silence, you can turn down the volume. You can close your eyes or keep them open as we take some time for the sound of silence with only one question in your mind. How is it with your spirit? Amen, and blessed be.
Pam has asked me to share a reflection on listening today. Hearing the parable of the cricket, I can't help thinking that the indigenous man could hear the cricket amidst the noise of the city because he believed that there could be a cricket there. I find it interesting that we use the expression crickets these days to imply an awkward silence, the auditory version of the elephant in the room. But I think of cricket sounds as a wonderful blessing, the sounds I can hear when there are trees nearby, when it's not so cold that the windows are closed and the crickets have retreated underground or perished. I did not realize that I had tinnitus for years after it began because my tinnitus sounds like crickets and I didn't mind that sound. Now there is evidence that people with tinnitus also process emotions differently than those with normal hearing. An infrasound, sound that is below the frequencies humans can hear, may be causing damage too, like the invisible unscented radon that seeps up from the basement. Are those of us who live in wooden houses healthier than the ones who dwell in metal and vinyl and concrete? There's so many sounds we'd rather not hear now. The news is just dreadful. People who speak up for environmental justice are called terrorists, and armed vigilantes are called patriots, and we can't hear each other with all the shouting. Another sound I have not wanted to hear, but has been rumbling under my feet since May, is the grinding roar of wide load tractor trailers hauling concrete decking in and out of the place formerly known as Blacksburg High School, now a staging area for the monstrous parking decks in the place formerly known as Terrace View. Yes, I go to public meetings, I write public comments, but the responses from officials are tone deaf at best and occasionally shaming, implying I am NIMBYist and anti-progress for not supporting upscale high density housing and clean natural gas. It's not the density I mind. It's the bulldozing of every tree, acres and acres, to make way for more cars. No one speaks for the trees. And it's true, I'm more fortunate than most, living near the woods around Indian Run, which whispers, as it has since Tutelo people took care of this land. How I wish we could listen to the stories of our ancestors as they did and anticipate the songs of our grandchildren. Anthropologists have suggested that our stories that are tied to place are at risk for disappearing. The places where I lived as a student, the place I went sledding on the golf course, the place where I got married, the place my kids went to high school, all gone. Henderson Lawn still exists, thank goodness, but it doesn't feel like the same kind of gathering place now that the big sycamore tree is gone. That tinnitus, and maybe the infrasound too, get in the way of hearing the crickets and other gentle sounds. It's only recently that I realized the footsteps I was hearing in the early morning when my daughter wakes before me were not her pacing up and down, pacing, pacing, trying to quell her anxiety, but instead was my own pulse ringing in my ears. My partner has suggested the tinnitus and maybe the infrasound could be causing my night terrors. And perhaps I should have a white noise generator near my bed. But I don't want to shut off the sounds, even the subsonic ones. I want to hear everything and feel everything. Last week, Hayden told us so clearly what "I can't focus" means to him, and yet he is a superbly talented listener and carer. What if we are who we are because of what we're willing to hear? We heard that Laura is not alone, and Gretchen is not an orphan, and Jamie is not a stranger in a strange land. Kendra is in fact deeply committed. Aaron is a mystic. And Raimi is an authenticity warrior. And Becca is not without children, but instead, like Mother Earth herself, cares for all comers. I believe in crickets, and I believe in trees, and I believe in stories, even or especially the stories that are hard to tell. Thank you all.
Listening to life. Kimberly clearly listens. She listens to crickets and trees and stories, even and especially those that are hard to tell. Last week, we were blessed to hear the stories of each other, which Kimberly beautifully encapsulated with her reflection. She also reminded us of some of the ways we can listen to the life around us, the crickets and the trees. This week, as I was walking on the labyrinth here, I listened to the birds and the wind rustling through the trees and the sound of my feet crunching the dried pine needles in the path. Can you call to mind a favorite sound of nature in your own life? Perhaps it's water rushing down a riverbed or crashing on waves on a shore, or the rumble of thunder and howling of wind during a storm, or the quiet hush of leaves fluttering slowly to the ground. When we take the time to listen to the sounds of nature, we can feel connected to all of creation. But I want to consider another way of listening to life, closer to what Kimberly was talking about as hearing the beating of her own heart, the kind of listening that helps us feel connected to ourselves. Can we listen to our own lives? What might that look like? Or more aptly, what might that sound like? The story of the man who can hear the sound of a cricket amidst the noise and confusion of a city reminds me how noisy our lives can be. From the moment we wake until we go to bed at night, we can hear, we can live in a world of sound. That alarm clock, the radio or television, the voices of people around us, the purrs and roars of cars and other machines. It's hard to find a moment of quiet. Can you remember the last time you sat in silence? And even when our ears aren't hearing noises, our minds can be filled with noise. Think about the time you spend alone. If you're like me, you probably spend a fair amount of time busily thinking about the email you need to return or the phone call to make, about the items on your to-do list, sifting through to decide what takes priority, or the steps you need to follow to complete a task like following a recipe, or reading, all manner of things, directions and instructions, emails and snail mails, social media, the news, articles and books, and if you're lucky, novels and poetry. Our minds can be busy, as noisy as a street full of cars and full of other people's words. But as the man in the story reminds us, we can hear what we are taught to listen for. We can hear what we want to listen for. But it isn't always easy. In his book, The Listening Life, Embracing Attentiveness in a World of Distraction, Presbyterian minister and spiritual director Adam McHugh uses the term discernment to help explain how we might listen to our lives. He writes, discernment involves paying attention to the interior movements of the soul, your thoughts, emotions, impulses, desires, values, passions, dreams, recurring questions, and bodily responses have meaning. They're trying to teach you and are all interconnected. They are telling you what your life is like. The voices that you choose to listen to are shaping what kind of person you are becoming. Now, the operative word, I think, is choose. What voices do we choose to listen to? So many voices are calling us, including obligations and responsibilities to our family and friends, our work, our communities, and all the other noise in our lives, the entertainment and distractions. But sometimes those distractions are welcome. McHugh speaks to our tendency to ignore, silence, push away, anesthetize or choke with food or drink the voices we'd rather not hear. But if we want to live fully, to live into who we most want to be, we can listen to our lives. We can listen to the voices telling us who we are and who we want to be. There are many ways of listening to our lives. Perhaps the easiest to consider are those voices in our heads that keep up a running commentary on our lives. Some of them are a real pain in the neck, repeating the messages that others have given us our whole lives about what we should or shouldn't do, what we can or cannot do. McHugh has a long list of names for the negative internal voices: the parent, the therapist, the defendant, the critic, the lawyer, the doomsayer, the bully. He says, identifying and naming the voices helps us break the spell they have over us. Calling out the voices helps us move from blindly reacting to them to consciously addressing them. But there are also voices that comfort and encourage us to dare and try new things. What's important is to find or to make the time in our busy lives to find the stillness, to quiet the busyness and noise, and listen to them. And once we hear them, pay attention to how they make us feel. I think of the voice that started telling me to leave teaching and become a minister. I had been hearing that call since I was a teenager, but I would jokingly tell people that if I won the lottery, I'd go to seminary, afraid to give up the security of a satisfying career and a steady paycheck. But as the call grew stronger, my reaction changed. When I spoke of it, I found myself getting emotional, verklempt. Frederick Buechner explains it this way: whenever you find tears in your eyes, especially unexpected tears, it is well to pay the closest attention. They are not only telling you something about the secret of who you are, but more often than not, God is speaking to you through them of the mystery of where you have come from and is summoning you to where you should go next. What voice might be calling you? Whether or not you believe in God, that voice may be summoning you where you should go next. The tears in your eyes I experienced and that Buechner talks about point to another way of listening to our lives, listening to our emotions. As McHugh writes, emotions are internal indicators of how we are doing and what is right and what is wrong with our circumstances and relationships. Like the voices, some emotions can be unpleasant and even scary, while others are comfortable and pleasurable. What's important is to listen for them, acknowledge them, sit with them, to see what they might have to tell us about our lives. Ignoring or squashing negative emotions usually strengthens them, but naming them and exploring them gives us an opportunity to respond thoughtfully. I think about the times when I feel especially triggered by a situation, when my emotional reaction seems out of whack, stronger than maybe warranted. That's when it's important to take the time to ask ourselves, why? Why do I feel so mad or so glad or scared or hurt? What emotions are calling you today? What are they telling you about the circumstances of your life? Likewise, we can listen to our bodies. So many of us live in our heads all the time that we ignore not just the way we feel emotionally, but also physically. Ours is a culture that glorifies achievement and productivity, encouraging us to push ourselves beyond our limits. We don't realize how much we've pushed ourselves until we're completely exhausted. Some of you may remember the phrase, no pain, no gain, popularized by Jane Fonda in her aerobics videos. We know better now. We can listen to our bodies before we hit the pain threshold. McHugh suggests some questions we can ask to help us listen to our bodies. What or who gives me energy or drains my energy? When do I feel most alive? When do I feel most exhausted? What makes me feel rested? How much sleep do I need? When is my body most alert? What food makes me feel light and energized? And what makes me feel heavy and lethargic? This past year has been a time for listening to our bodies. When the pandemic hit, some of us went into overdrive, working nonstop to address the new circumstances of our lives. It was easy to work all day, every day. When we work at home, we don't have the transition time going to and coming from work to help mark the end of our work days. I was grateful for reminders from people to take a break, to give myself time to breathe. But sometimes my body told me too. My shoulders got tensed and tight. What is it that your body is telling you? Right now, how do you feel? How are your shoulders, your head, your neck, your belly, your legs? What is your body telling you right now? We can listen to our lives, to our inner voices, our emotions, and our bodies, if we choose to hear. Kimberly asked the question, what if we are who we are because of what we're willing to hear? And the next question, what are you willing to hear? I'm going to ask Jamie to extinguish our chalice, but not the light of truth, not the fire of commitment, and not the warmth of this community. These we take with us in our hearts until we are together again. And in the week ahead, I invite us all to listen to our lives and let it call us on.